We're joined by commentators David McCann and Alex Kane. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Vinny. Morning, David.
Is David there? Because David seems to have Gregory Campbell's phone. It's the worst phone. Hello?
Hello, Vinny.
Okay. Well, we'll try and fix your line. You're very faint. We'll come to you two in just a second. If you want to call in, please, you know what to do. Give us a ring. 81771 on the text as well. Fra is on the line. Good morning, Fra.
Good morning, Vinny. How are you, buddy?
I'm not too bad. What do you think of this?
Yeah, well, I've obviously listened to the prior contributors and I've answered a lot of questions from both sides of the debate. But a couple of things that I want to mention was, firstly, Brexit, when it was first kind of mooted in the public domain, I think the polls had the Remainers in excess of 60%. It's only when they started to have the public debate around whether or not to stay within the EU that started to change. I think we should have the vote. I think we should call for a border poll. We should definitively find out what the people of the North want.
Has Brexit, has that influenced your decision at all? Has it made you think about it any differently?
No, I voted in favour of leaving Brexit because I see it as a kind of colonial big boys club of the old imperialist powers. I'm in favour of a socialist United Ireland, so my politics haven't changed through Brexit. But Vinny, people had mentioned earlier about, you know, nearly 100 years that Republicans and Nationalists have tried to put forward, you know, the value of reunification. But nobody's talking about 1912, Home Rule and the referendum in Ireland then. I think it was over 80% of people. And that united Ireland prior to partition that voted to leave Britain. I think that's very, very, very important. And I think unionists can no longer continue to have a veto against progress, even on a conversation reunification.
Let's just put that point to commentator Alex Kane. Your thoughts on that?
In terms of the Brexit thing? Sorry,
yes.
I dipped out. Look,
you weren't listening to Fra.
I was, yes. my line, I had much of the same problem as David's line. My line went down there slightly. No, I think in terms of the whole poll and the Brexit thing, I think it's true. The Brexit debate didn't really have any impact at all. You know, it's minimal impact on how people think of the United Ireland because people, they weren't conflating. It's two entirely different issues, really, because if you look even at that poll and if you look at the other statistics, just because someone, and it applies to union as well, just because someone wants to stay in the European Union or leave the European Union, that's an entirely different argument about how your personal sense of identity as an Irish person or a British person comes into play. So I wasn't surprised by yesterday's poll. I don't think it made the slightest difference at all. If you ask about whether you have a border poll now, my gut instinct, it has been, I discussed this with Stephen, I think the day after the Brexit debate. It's a peculiar thing, Vinny. It always comes back to this issue of who you are, what you are, that even if you, and I think Jim Allister said, maybe even Claire said it earlier as well, even if you had a border poll tomorrow, quite clearly there would be a very substantial majority to stay in the United Kingdom. But once you've opened that door, I think Jim's right, I think it has to be triggered every 7 years. The debate would never, ever go away. And I think for a lot of people in Northern Ireland, I think even people, let's call them, cautious nationalists, I think is maybe a phrase that Claire Hannah used, people who maybe emotionally would quite like the idea of a united Ireland, quite like the idea of bringing the island back together again. They're not ready for it yet because there's so many other issues at stake here, one of which is Sinn Féin, no harm to them. Sinn Féin cannot be the serious leaders of the United Ireland debate, given their background. That has to come from the Irish government, it has to come from Fianna Fáil, from Fianna Gael. It has to be a much bigger debate between the British and Irish governments. So we haven't had that. We haven't come close to that debate yet. So I'm just saying, at this stage, a call for a border poll, in one sense, is almost meaningless. Because I know Conor Murphy tried to say it earlier, that we've had this debate and they've had their outreach programs. I've been invited to Sinn Féin conferences to talk about it. The reality is the debate on the future of Ireland, the future of Northern Ireland, the future of the UK, Irish relationship hasn't actually been discussed seriously at any stage in my lifetime.
David McCann,
can I answer that?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Vinny, both Jim Allister and Alex Kane have both now alluded to the fact that they don't want to have the conversation. They don't want to have the border.
I do want to have the conversation, sir. I do. I've written about this for years. I've been to Sinn Féin conferences, SDLP. I've argued this for years. I've argued we need to have the debate. My point is, I genuinely don't think there has been that debate among the people who need to have the debate.
Okay, Alex, what I heard both you, and I accept what you're saying there, but what I heard both you and Jim Allister say was you don't want to have a border poll. Because in essence, what that's going to do is open the Pandora's box of United Ireland. So in essence, what you're both doing is saying that the nationalist minority in the north of Ireland and a substantial section of the Republic of Ireland have no say in the reunification of their country. That if you won't have the border poll, you're not prepared. You're actually not having that debate.
Well, but what about this?
If
there was a poll, and it came out that people wanted to remain in the UK, would you be happy to accept that and move on?
I would be happy to accept that as an initial response to the first time that the question's been put.
So that's a no. That's a no.
You put again and again and again.
But Fra, that's the problem, Fra. That it wouldn't have. I have to be honest. Even with Declan Kearney last night on The View, if it had said only 7% of people want a United Ireland, that's what the poll had found.
Would you want a poll every 5 years, every 7 years? How often would you want this? And
I would actually include it in the census. That way people wouldn't necessarily have to leave their houses to go out and vote. What people could do is answer that question in the privacy and confidentiality of their own home.
So you want to keep the pot boiling all the time, basically, Fra?
No, I don't want to keep the pot boiling. I think the
people
in
Ireland have
if you have a vote,
a poll for something like this, you just basically keep going until you get what you want. Whereas on the other side of things, if you say, for example, with Brexit, Brexit is Brexit, the Prime Minister says that's it, we're out. Or would you want it just to continue constantly, or would that not leave a bit of unease and make things a little bit uncertain if we're constantly potentially changing so much fundamentally about our country?
Vinny, it's a simple yes-no question that can be done every 5 to 10 years. I think it's important I want to see a socialist government. And I try to vote for that every 5 years. It doesn't mean I'm going to get it. It doesn't mean that if you have this question every 5 to 10 years, that you will get an eventual outcome that says that that the majority of people in the north of Ireland at that time will vote for reunification.
Okay. There's plenty that will agree with you. It's David McCann, commentator and a very patient man. You've been there for quite a while. your thoughts on the results initially of this survey?
Well, overall, it does show that nationalism still does have an awful lot of work to do. I think the big problem with the United Ireland debate is that essentially United Ireland's a blank check. We don't really know what people are voting for. I mean, I listened to Fra there saying about, the old kind of lexicon of a socialist 32-county republic. In my view, republicanism needs to get away from that. If you take a look at reasonably successful separatist movements around the world, whether it's Scotland, whether it's Quebec, What those movements did was they amended their overall vision. So in Quebec, it was sovereignty association. In Scotland, they had the currency union and maintaining the Queen. So, for example, I think that what republicanism needs to do here, we need to create a narrative a plan that's as modern as the country that you want to create. So for example, banking devolution and strengthening it, creating distinct society clauses that recognise and support unionist opinion in the United Ireland, maintaining some sort of link with Britain. I think that there needs to be
David,
bold and generous compromises
to
be able to make that sellable.
Are we informed enough, though, David? Do we know enough about what would actually happen, the potential, the changes? Say, for example, one of the fundamental things, if it was a United Ireland, would you have to pay for your doctor? At the minute, if you live in the South, in the Republic, you have to pay if you want to go and see your GP. Up here, we don't. How much tax would you pay? Things like that. Do we, any of us, really have any idea what would happen? And therefore, what are we basing our decision on? Even for a poll like this, the decision to have the poll and how you would vote if the poll did come about. Do we know what we're talking about?
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, Vinny. I think that those questions need to be answered. I mean, a way around that I would suggest would be in the same way that the Westminster leaders in the Scottish referendum did the vow with basic guarantees if you voted no. I think that republicanism needs to do the same thing. All the leaders of all the yes parties, a commitment from the Irish government, if you vote yes, that is a commitment to a universal healthcare system that's free at the point of use. Things like that need to be addressed. And you're absolutely, Vinny, I was a bit taken by a point you made to Conor Murphy, saying that you were talking with your friends, this never comes up. It's the same thing with my friends. My friends should be, once upon a time, would have been nationalists, but the United Ireland just doesn't really speak to them. And that's because, quite frankly, I think that most nationalist politicians in the North use language and economic arguments that are about 30 or 40 years out of date. Again, if you want to capture modern arguments, you need to look at Scotland, you need to look at Quebec, where they created modern concepts of a new dynamic state. And another point that we just take, I mean, Jim Allister made the point about why would you want to join a failed republic with a failed economy? The republic leads Northern Ireland on nearly every single economic indicator, is the fastest growing economy in Europe. An international survey 2 weeks ago showed that it is in the top five best countries in the world to raise your kid.
Yeah, 52% though don't want the poll, 33% do. So surely is that not like skywriting, you know, move on, we don't want it, we don't want to talk about it?
I mean, look, Vinny, I think the issue is that, yes, people don't want to poll, but again, I think the reason because of this is that we don't actually know what Brexit is going to mean yet. Nothing's happened yet, Vinny. Again, the proof of the pudding will be when Article 50 is activated and when they actually try and get that deal. That's why I think Carhan is absolutely right when she says a border poll now would be counterproductive. We need to wait and see what the British government do. I mean, Gordon and Jim and all have been saying, oh, staying in the UK is a safe bet. Gordon and Jim can't tell us 4 years from now what trade deals Britain's going to have, what level the pound is going to be at, what role in the world Britain will have in 4 years' time. They can't answer those questions.
Okay, let's bring in some
economic risk is staying in the United States.
Let's bring in some calls at this point. James, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny. For me, there's two things. First of all, the Brexit means Brexit. We don't know what we're going into, but we voted. If we go down the road of a referendum, we're exactly like you've just said. What would our pension mean? What would that mean? So that's the first point. The second point I would always say is, and you've got to look at this probably in a lot of things, I'm British, my daughter is Irish. So there's no thing for me that says it's about British or Irish. But really, Stephen did a TV programme with RT there last year about the cost of this. And the big question was, if it was free, would you join? And he said yes. And then they asked the Irish people, if you had to pay for Northern Ireland, would you want them to join? And they voted no.
Well, one question he did ask, Stephen asked, was, could you afford it? And they said no.
Absolutely. So here we are talking about United Ireland in Northern Ireland, yet the people who are going to be the key decision makers and make some of the key financial decisions that affect that future are not involved in the debate. So our argument is absolutely pointless at this point until, A, we understand the path, what happened, how it would work, and that the people in the South say, yes, we want that to happen. Because even if the majority said yes to United Ireland up here, but the majority in the South said no, what would then happen? So it's pointless talking about referendum.
So where do you start, James? What's the first step?
The first step is to understand the absolute step-by-step economic decisions that affect every single person.
But do you not want to gauge if people here in Northern Ireland are interested in the first place?
We've already got that. That's what this poll says, that there is two out of three, nearly three out of four people don't want it. OK, if you wish to persuade me to join a United Ireland, tell me what the impact is going to be on me and my family. I'm not interested in the political argument. Primarily, you're going to be interested in the economic argument that says to somebody, if I've got to pay for health, I've got to pay for this, I've got to have water charges, I'm going to have whatever else that's what people matter.
You were referring to that programme that was done on the TV with BBC One with Stephen, and that was Jimmy Deanahan, who was a minister. I'm not sure he's still a minister down south, but when Stephen put it to him, you know, if there was a United Ireland, if you had the option now, could the Republic of Ireland afford it? And he couldn't give any other answer but no.
The answer is no, because that's exactly right.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Bring in Sean at this point. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Sonny.
Go ahead.
If I could make a couple of points that are interlinked.
Well, if you can make them quickly, there's quite a few people. Okay, I want to try and get through a few calls here.
Okay, no problem. The first one is that the Good Friday Agreement, St Andrews Agreement, Hillsborough Agreement, all negotiated what they called a final settlement. It's nowhere near a final settlement. The thing that came about from that was a promise that all we had to do was ask for a border poll and it would be granted. That was a lie, because the border poll has to have the support of the unionists and the British government to make any form of headway. It can't, because of the triple lock that was instilled into it, the fact is that nationalists and Republicans can't demand it. All they can do is moot from the sidelines that they would like one. And as we've seen so far, the British government and secretaries of state have just said no. Unionists have said no. It's going nowhere.
Alex, what do you think of what you're hearing? We'll come back to your second point in a second. Alex, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the point, I think it was James, the caller before, made, Vinny, is a very strong point, because I think nobody knows what this debate's about. Because we haven't heard. At the minute, the debate has been led by Sinn Féin. I accept that that's part of their reason to exist, is to make that debate. But until we hear from the Irish government, until we hear from the Irish people on the south, until we hear from Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, what, as David says, what they're offering, what's up for grabs, what's going to happen to the National Health Service and so on, the debate hasn't happened yet. But the other thing I think is worth mentioning is it's something David raised. We talked about the Scottish independence, Quebec independence. There's something I think is very significant in terms of how unionists see this debate, that irrespective of what happened to Scotland, you know, if it voted for independence, it's still Scotland outside the United Kingdom or Scotland inside, with Quebec very clear identity. I think there's a very great fear within unionism that somehow if a border poll decides to take Northern Ireland out of the United Kingdom, that's the end of Northern Ireland. That's the end of their identity. And that is, I mean, identity matters. We know everywhere in the world it matters, particularly in Ireland.
Of course it does, but also, you know, waiting lists in the NHS, they also matter.
No, I'm saying they do matter, but I'm simply saying, as a point I made before, Vinny, I think it's an important point, that for many people, and do not underestimate this, a lot of Sinn Féin voters, and I accept this point, would still vote for United Ireland even if told that they could be economically worse off. And a lot of unionists would choose to stay in the United Kingdom even if told they could be economically worse off, because it isn't just about the economics, it isn't just about the health service.
An interesting
sense of identity.
Yeah, an interesting point. Alex, Stephen is on the line as well. Stephen, your thoughts on what Alex has just said. Regardless of the facts, if we had the facts and figures, some people would still, because you could say a romantic type view, they want a united Ireland, it's in their culture, their history, their tradition, or vice versa. That's how they will vote regardless of what would happen. Good morning, Stephen. Go ahead.
Well, the point that I was actually wanting to make was that the poll is saying that this is a waste of time to do this at the moment. Well, rather than press ahead with it, would it not be better to spend that money on a hard-pressed society and the economics in other ways, and the health service and different things?
Focus their attention on things like that. That's the kind of things that matter to you, Stephen.
Yes, because at the end of the day, you're talking there about the health service and all this here. Plus, as well as that there, if I may quickly just, the point that was touched on earlier, if there was a poll and it was voted to go to United Ireland, then we should ask the people of the Republic, do you want this? Because you can't just arrive at a neighbour's house, baggage under arm, and say, here we are, hello.
Well, what about, Stephen, what about what Alex had said there in terms of if you have the information, the details of the pros and cons, many will still vote on traditional lines?
Well, I think at the end of the day, what it boils down to is not a question of United Ireland or not. It's a question of how it affects, to quote an old saying, the pound in your pocket.
Yeah, but that's Alex's point. Alex's point is that would still, even if it was going to negatively affect people, they would still perhaps vote in a traditional way because that is what they want.
Well, they may do that because...
What about you? Would it affect you if you knew what would happen and it was going to be a negative, whichever way, either to remain or to leave? Would that affect how you voted?
Because okay. I think a lot of people are stereotyped in the way they're thinking. They're not trying to think out of the box, you know, what's best for them, for their family, and for their, you know, how it would go. And, you know, I think it would affect how I would feel, you know. If I thought certainly that I would be better within United Ireland, I would certainly vote for it.
Okay.
But at the minute, if people putting financial situations up and saying, it'll cost you this, it'll cost you to get your bins empty, it'll cost you to see a doctor, you know, there's a lot of people and the live in the poverty line and probably couldn't just afford it.
Yeah, Stephen, thank you. We were talking earlier about Jimmy Deanahan, the former Irish minister. This was a programme between BBC One with Stephen and RTE, and Stephen was putting the question to him about the South, the Republic, affording a united Ireland.
Can I ask Jimmy Deanahan a question from Fine Gael? Is it the position, Jimmy... we've never spoken before, by the way, so good evening, Jimmy. Is it the position of the Irish government that it can afford a united Ireland at this moment in time, in the current economic climate?
Well, that's hypothetical, obviously. And
it's a big question. Don't give me hypotheticals. Can the government, the Irish government, afford a united Ireland at this moment in time? Yes or no?
Well, no, really.
I do believe he lost his seat soon after that. Whether that's linked or not, I have no idea. David McCann, your thoughts on that? The South, the Republic can't afford a United Ireland.
Sure, yeah. And just to answer some of the points that have been brought up, yes, the South does need to have a corresponding referendum to accept us. So it would be a Cyprus-type situation. So it wouldn't be just a case of Northern Ireland just arriving at the South. The South does need to have a referendum to accept us. But, you know, look, Jimmy is being honest there. Yes, there are financial difficulties at the moment in terms of how the two the two states integrate. But just going back to something that Alex was saying about, you know, identity is important. And yeah, look, me and Alex both have very solid views on this issue, and we will always vote according to those. But however, I think that in terms of what republicanism and what nationalists can do to make unionists feel more at home. So, for example, creating a federal republic, keeping the Northern Ireland institutions going, the Northern Ireland Assembly going, and keeping a special link between Britain and Ireland, like whether that's maybe keeping passports and stuff like that, I think that can be done. And in terms of the wider economic debate that Jimmy Dean was referring to, that puts all the more pressure on nationalists in government here to get our economic house in order to make it easier to transition to United Ireland.
Okay. David McCann, thank you very much. And Alex Keane, thank you as well. We'll squeeze another couple of callers in on this. Chris is on the line. Good morning, Chris.
How you doing, Villainy? You keeping well?
Oh, I'm not too bad. We're all missing Stephen terribly. What do you think?
Well, basically, I was talking about the Brexit thing. Says, I honestly think that if we had been told all the facts and the truth behind all of that, says, I think a lot of people would have voted differently.
So if you knew, I'm not asking which way you would vote if there was a border poll, but if the facts and figures said that one way or the other you would be negatively affected, would that change how you voted? If you were told you're going to pay more or less tax, would it change, or would you stick with your traditional views on it and what you would traditionally vote for?
No, it wouldn't. But I think the vote would have been completely different if people had known the facts.
Okay, thank you, Chris. George on the line as well. Good morning, George. Go ahead.
Morning, Stephen. I'm just asking.
George, what did you just call me? This is what happens when you let George Mishankle on. I said to keep him off until Stephen was back.
That's because you had his voice on. You had me mixed up there.
See, oh, you're missing him.
You still have his voice on. But listen, monetarily value, I agree with what Alex says, that people on both sides would vote no matter what they were told. But I think if the real facts were put to people, you know, you'd throw on there claiming to be a socialist, but then telling you wanted to vote every lot of years. I mean, what kind of money would that take out of the economy to have a referendum?
Well, let's talk about you, George. So do you mind me asking what way you would vote if there was a poll?
Well, Vinny, I would vote for, you know what way I'd vote.
Well, I'm just asking you. I'm not making any assumptions.
You know, I mean, I would vote to remain within the United Kingdom and always.
And if someone said to you, right, George, you would vote to remain in the UK, but if you did vote for a United Ireland, you would pay half the tax you do now.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm one of the few on either side that Alex spoke about. You know, I mean, if I hadn't.
What do you mean by absolutely not? Would that change how you vote?
No, absolutely not.
You would still vote to remain in the UK?
If I had nothing in my pocket, I would vote to remain in the UK, and that's the truth.
You'd rather be maybe, I don't want to say poor, but you'd rather have less money. And that's just one example, of course.
Yes, I'd rather poor and on my knees. I mean, may as well tell the truth about it. I'd be
that's
poor and on my knees rather than vote to leave the United Kingdom. But my point would be, if the ones that would swing either way, you know, if they were told the facts, you know, monetarily, that guy from down south on the Steam show was absolutely right. And you go, I mean, there's been on the show and on various social media outlets about the DLA bill, for instance, for the North of Ireland and Northern Ireland, and the benefits bill and the NHS bill, and that was starting having to pay for a doctor and having to pay for a fireman, even if you were to go into the United Ireland. But I mean, if you were to ask the people in the South of Ireland and give them sort of the bill for Northern Ireland, you know, they would look at it and chase you.
Well, they might do, and we just don't know. And that's one of the points that people have been making on the programme this morning.